And now,
Capital 263.
Hello, my name is Sue. This is CareerPod, your vital career information portal. This is a weekly podcast to talk about career decisions, changes, and transitions. We dare you to dream big, start small, and start now. In this episode, we are joined by Alderman Moses Mbimbi from Friends of Education Africa. Today, we're talking about the importance of career fairs and the impact that comes with it. Before we get into the details of our topic, I would like our guest to give a brief introduction in case I miss something important about his profile.
Thank you, Sue. I'm Alderman Moses Mbimbi, founder and executive director for Friends of Education Africa. So, yeah, basically you were on point. Thank you.
Okay, so what are your main target groups? Because you then can't talk about you venturing into career education and career information without having target groups.
From a Friends of Education perspective, our target groups are basically youths and children. These are categorized as youth in school and youth out of school. Children, basically, we're expecting those that are in school, in case there might be those with challenges with going to school. As Friends of Education Africa, then we'll devise programs and methodologies that can assist them. But basically, our target groups are youth and children.
Right.
Yes. So when we talk of this category of people, we're talking about those in primary school, in high schools, and those in tertiary institutions and technical training schools.
All right. And how are you making sure that your target groups get access to information?
Information that we do give away or programs that we embark on are tailor-made to suit a specific group. It's not just information that we are throwing just in the space for anybody to just say, I'm looking for it, then I'll get it. Definitely in such a way, some will miss certain important details. But when we talk about information that is relative to primary school students as far as career development is concerned, we package it in a way, in a manner that is appealing to them. And in reaching out, we do what we call, particularly on the career development side, we have quite a number of programs that we do. But on the career development side, we talk about we have what we call the on-site career development sessions and off-site career development sessions. And obviously, that's how we're getting to also give out information as far as that aspect of our programming is concerned.
Okay, pardon me. What do you mean by off-site career development and on-site career development? You're talking to someone who's a bit slow, so please educate me.
Okay, yeah, it's like branding. In branding, you use catchwords. But just to give a differentiation of what we mean by an off-site and an on-site career development session, a career development session to us is packaged in a manner that it has with a system that we follow in terms of what information do we give. It's the same way, but there is a dimension that we take to say there are things that we can do at a local school environment. We call that an on-site career development session. And then in achieving the same objective, we can do this career development session at a technical training institution. For example, we want to focus on a group that want them to understand. For example, we've got a key topic that we call an industry perspective to career development or career options. So if it's an industry perspective to career development, we go to Zimplatz. We are there, we tour the plant. In touring the plant, we do carry out a career development session there off-site, off the normal academia environment or school environment. So we call it that. It's a bit more practical in approach than the theory-based PowerPoint presentations and other presentations in front, in form of a lecture in front of a group of kids.
Okay. So how are you impacting as FEA?
In terms of impacting, in measuring ourselves, we believe our programming is on point. We believe that the aspects that we've looked at in terms of guiding anybody as far as career planning to implementation of the career goals and choosing the right careers and also getting the right job opportunities and making yourself ripe and ready for the job market. We believe that on the programming side, we are on point. We then have to measure also ourselves in terms of to those that we have worked with, those that we have that have been part of our programs, what could have been their response so far. We also get to take too much pride in the responses that we get, that our programming is that kind of a must need for anybody. You talk to a school teacher responsible for career guiding and counseling, they love it. We have been in talks to the point of framing an MOU, a working document, with the Minister of Labour, Public Works, and Minister of Labour, to the point that they realize that they have the government mandate to do it, but the way and the approach that we use, it's awesome, it's complete, and that shows also the impact, the level of impact on which our programs can transform the career development space.
Interesting. So what have you done, or what do you intend to do in relation to career phase?
Career phase, that has been obviously the starting point. To try, as you are getting into an industry, you have got your objectives, your values, your mission, your vision. But how, for example, from myself as the founder of Friends of Education Africa, I said, this is a new field that I'm getting into. The starting point is, let me have a deep test. And also you want to make a name for yourself, for people to know and recognize you, to say, these are people actually doing it, they've done it, not people who are just trying. So in 2016, we hosted what we call the Harare International Education Fair, where we brought in universities from abroad, and we also worked with the local universities, and we brought students and teachers for free to participate. This is a challenge. It's so much of a challenge. This is something that needs so much funding, because career fairs are one of the key instruments in terms of aligning the job market, the students, and the industry itself to us, the way we looked at it. So, but we had to try and do it in such a way that people realize that then there is a need for such kind of things. We know quite a lot of people who do it, but we do it differently. In 2015, just going a little bit backwards, I managed also to host a career fair that was based or biased to the aviation sector, because I was enthusiastic about a number of career opportunities within the aviation sector, but only, to my knowledge, was the aircraft engineer and the air hostess, probably the pilot. The rest I didn't know. So I realized that with the opening of that mind, I needed also to educate others. So we did successfully host what we call a Harare International Education Fair, as well as the Harare Air Day, where young people came in their numbers. It's more of edutainment, so you know, young people will be motivated to come and witness. So those are some of the past successes. But in terms of where we are going and what we intend to do, we intend to work in a collaborative manner with all stakeholders in the education sector. As Friends of Education Africa, we have grown to be present in about 14 African countries now, which is value that we see that we are bringing to the market. And we also intend, as we collaborate even at country level or at regional level, to make sure that going forward we need to create as much attention to young people, giving them platforms like career fairs. You can name it a career fair, you can name it career week, if you want to do it in a week, a career month, if you want to do it in a month, you can do, write a book, you can do quite a number of things. But what we intend that's forthcoming is what we call a CSRN education conference. That is day one, day two, day three. Obviously, the fact that there's something that happens on day one, day two, day three, that's how it is separated, where the industry gets to participate, the schools gets to participate, the government line ministries within the education sector gets also to participate effectively, and you can account collectively, and the students also themselves, collectively to say what has been that which we have achieved in setting the tone.
Sounds interesting. I can't wait for that career week. So what are you going to do differently that hasn't been done with the ministry currently?
It's a very good question, tempting in the angle in which probably the response can come from.
Yes.
But I would say our endeavor is not to compete with any government, department or ministry, but to complement government efforts. So how do we do it? We look at the gaps and linkages and the possible areas or avenues that we can both exploit. For example, government has a mandate for providing platforms for guiding and counseling through the department within the Ministry of Public Service, that is the National Employment Services Department. And in providing this service, they lack resources. There is no funding available. We come in with methods and strategies to rope in corporate partners in order to subsidize the budget. So in so doing, we're doing it differently, but we're complementing. Then what comes in is to say, how do we feel we need to recommend to government to give such programming an impact? So we'll never, in any respect, compete with government. We will complement always. But of course, in trying, like I said, it's a bit of an interesting question, particularly in answering it. Someone would view then in some things as competition. We would always be open to educate the officers responsible for career guiding and counseling on the government side in terms of how we are programming. Ministry of Education, primary and secondary, higher and tertiary, they are key stakeholders to us. We will also educate them. ICT. We will also educate, we can name all the aligned ministers within the education sector. We will be making sure that we sell ourselves to them. We market, we promote our services to them and how we intend to achieve the results. But we also want also to be unique in our approach. For example, when we do the CSRN Education Conference, it's going to be happening every year in each and every country. That's part of the mandate that each and every CEO for Friends of Education Africa has been mandated to do. We want to rope in investment for the education sector in the country to the point of making sure that through these efforts, we can even come to a point of introducing an education fund that is independently and effectively managed to support education. It's achievable.
I'm looking forward to that. How is your work going to transform the lives of young people in Zimbabwe?
I look at it together with my team that young people in Zimbabwe, old today, young yesterday, or young today, or tomorrow, they have one common challenge: planning about their career.
Mm-hmm.
How have you planned about yourself in the near future? And you have to do it today, you have to do it yesterday.
Most of us don't plan about our future.
Yes, so that is what we center ourselves on. We have got quite a number of programs that we do that are exciting and appealing, and that can also be good at resource mobilization for us as an institution. But we have much thrust on career planning. Career planning, what is it? We need to educate young people. What is career planning? How do you plan about your career? What steps are involved? What are the benefits of planning for your career? Over and above that, we then go as far as saying, now that you know how to plan about your career, you can now learn to set career goals. Setting career goals is not just saying, I want to do this, I want to do that. No, no. It's a process of goal setting. It's a mindset issue. We're working thoroughly to transform the minds of young people. This is the change, the transformation, the development that we are trying to bring in our young people, the difference that we're bringing. So it's the mindset aspect. In dealing with the mindset, we then say, now that the mind is set right, now that you can plan about your career, you know how to go about it, make a choice, an independent choice. Not that my aunt, my dad, my brother, my sister has done accounting, therefore I'll go and do accounting. I want to be a doctor because I'm doing sciences. You know, sometimes you fight so hard in areas where you are weak. And when you fail dismally, that's when you realize that I was in the wrong direction. So we want people to be clear from where to go. And this is how we are helping young people, and this is how we will continue doing to help young people. So that when they now make independent choices, how do they make it? They'll come to you and say, "Sue, tell me, what do you know about law field?" You will go out blazing to try and show your knowledge about the field. You are the one who knows how to effectively use the internet. You know where the law firms are. You will do justice because a young person, as a mentee, has come to you to ask for information that is crucial for their life. You go to 30 more people, including the father and the mother. And then they will say, "I think I want to do development studies. From what I've learned, and the good things and the bad things, the important things and the less important things about that subject, measuring my values and my interests, I have chosen this. And for me to achieve this, I know that I need to follow this route." We believe in so doing, the life of a young person is transformed. Though there comes a challenge in terms of how do I then fund my career path, my education. We do have a particular approach to education financing. So we are using all these methods to help develop young people to be able to achieve their career goals and their set direction for life and to achieve purpose. So we do have that. And we also, lastly, and we give so much emphasis on this, we call it an industry perspective to career development. Obviously, when you come into the corporate world, you notice that the expectations from the industry are far different from what you've learned, whether at degree level or at primary level or high school level.
Okay, so my last question is rather going to really, really stick to you, because it's almost something to do with how you started out. What did you sacrifice for you to then think of, you know, "I want to help people in making career decisions and how to reach their goals," and also for how those people to then tap into the market? What did you sacrifice?
Sacrifices, I don't know.
Obviously.
Yeah, obviously, I hear you from a perspective of saying you could have left something worth pursuing to consider just helping people.
Yes.
But I'm one good example, if I'm to answer you precisely, of someone who had to redraw the line to say, "I need to start afresh. What is it that I'm passionate about? What is it that I'm good at? And what is it that I can follow and impact lives so that I have value to this world that I am part of? So that if I die today, I have a fulfillment." So in considering all those aspects, I looked at my time. I'm not very old, as you can look at me. I'm just 33 years of age. So I said to myself, of these 30 years that I've lived on earth, where have I put much of my trust on in terms of time? I have lost time helping young people. I have lost time particularly on the junior council, junior parliament programs around the whole country, going to even other countries within the region. I'm so passionate. I noticed it. Let us say, I'm so passionate about youth and children within churches, within various communities. So I lost time through that in 30 years, which I could have used in something else. I'm an engineer by training, mechanical engineer, fitter, and machinist. I also specialize in hydraulics and pneumatics. I could have pursued that.
Yeah, you should have been making millions right now.
And so many people say that. But obviously, if I work and I'm getting $1,000 a month, in 12 months, I only have got $12,000. So I realized that for me, it's more than the money issue. I calculated and realized that the value that I will be giving to the young people and the value that I also get from this is good enough for me and it's fulfilling. So I sacrificed the general expectations of people on me and built strongly on the foundation of those things that I believe in. So my sacrifice was on what people expect and believe that I should follow, to what I should do. So I decided to say, because I spent too much time with these kids that are in school, I've looked into the gaps and that are within the development aspects within the schools and the education as a system. Coming to our own country, we had a big advantage of the new curriculum. When the idea was being mooted, so many gaps were available. I realized that they call it education sector, but for me, I saw an industry that I could grow and develop from it. A multi-million dollar industry, even for our own organization. So I looked at all those things. So I then said, apart from helping people, we can actually live and actually do quite a lot out of this and help quite a lot of lives. So I then got so much drawn to what I'm competent in and also what I'm passionate about. I managed to separate what I love and what I'm capable of doing.
This has been a good interview, but then I would want you maybe to give us the key points that maybe you talked about in the session.
Key points?
Or maybe our take home. Something that you think would take home from
it's difficult to summarize yourself, considering that you'll be saying, I'm trying to give this in summary. These things are actually in detail, but I would say, most importantly, it's not about Friends of Education Africa as an organization. We will grow. We are already growing. We are going far. I am also growing as an individual, but I think it's about this collective effort for self-development as a country and as individuals. We need to look at ourselves as instruments of development. When we talk of Agenda 2063 as a country, who is contributing? Are we waiting for Emmerson Ndambudzo Mnangagwa to come on board and say, now this is what I'm doing for you? Are we waiting for Professor Mavima to come? Are we waiting for anybody else to come and say, now that I am your minister, now that I'm your president, this is what I'll do for you and we'll achieve Agenda 2063. It's something that is agreed and globally, and we know that we love this. When talk of the SDG, Sustainable Development Goals, who is contributing? When you talk of the national youth policy of our country, who is contributing to it? When we talk of all aspects that we believe other people have to come and do it for us. So we would from an institution perspective, encourage people to take positions and determine course of action around the situations around us. And in summary, I would then say, from a Friends of Education Africa perspective and from my own perspective, is I encourage us to learn every day. Learn every day and continue learning. In so doing, we'll look back and say, what do we need to do so that we change the situations around us? It's only through learning. Thank you.
My take home is basically, before you then decide that I want to be a doctor, I want to be a nurse, I want to be a marketing consultant, you have to sit down and think about your decisions, what you want, and get information, adequate information on what you want to do and if it's the right career for you. Thank you so much for joining me on this show. This has been CareerPod, brought to you by Career Zimbabwe in partnership with Capital 263, where we are free to do it, free to say it. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter at Career Zimbabwe, and also Capital 263 on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. If you have any views, comments, recommendations, and topics you want to be on the show, do let us know through our social media platforms. My name is Sue. Join me on the next podcast.
And now. Capital 263.